Thank you for joining us here at Life Church. It's an honor to share God's word with you today. Our prayer is that you will connect with Jesus Christ as you hear his word online. We'd love to have you visit one of our upcoming gatherings. For more information, visit us online at www.liferva.org or contact our church offices and we'll be happy to help you in any way that we can. Let's go now to one of our recent services where you can experience a life-giving message from God's word.
All right, let's go to a verse most of you know it, or you've heard it, or you've read it, or you've seen it at a ball game. Are you ready? John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's read that verse again from the NIV. Why don't you read it with me? We'll have it on the screen together. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's some good news right there, amen. I want to preach to you today on this subject. He cared enough. He cared enough. The most important thing that you believe in your life is whatever it is that you believe about God. It affects every other area of your life. It affects how you deal with your past. It affects how you face the future. It affects how you live your life today. And unfortunately, there's a lot of things that can distort our view or our thoughts about God. For example, your background can distort your view of God. The media can certainly distort our view of God. Painful experiences can affect our view of God. What other people tell us, or even our own securities, can distort our view of who God is and what he is in our lives. Our sin, amen? Our sin can certainly distort our view of who God is. And the result of that is that a lot of people have developed this inaccurate picture of God, right? See, some people think God is just, you know, like the Force in Star Wars, you know.
May the Force be with you.
You know. See, that's not how God is. Some people think that God is just, you know, this judgmental, overbearing parent who's just always someone you can't please. Some people think God is a cruel dictator of the universe, or he's some puppet master in the sky. See, some people think God doesn't even exist at all. And the problem is, when you don't understand what God really is in your life, you're going to fall into one of two traps. Number one, you're going to deny him and just say, I don't believe in God, right? That's one trap. Or the second trap is sometimes we just kind of create our own little version of what we think God is or who we think God is. You know, I like to think of God as, and then you fill in the blank, and guess what? We get it wrong when we do that. And if we don't have a true understanding about who God is or what he's really like, then we're going to build our lives on a faulty foundation that's inevitably going to collapse the first time you really have a major issue in your life. We've all heard it, or maybe you've even said it yourself. God cares about you, right? Or God loves you. And folks, that is great news if you know it to be true. Amen? How do I know that God really cares about me? Well, God's proven his care for us in many, many, many ways, and you can find it repeatedly in the scripture in countless ways. But today, on this celebration of Easter Sunday and Resurrection Sunday, I want to share with you just three ways that we know that he cared enough. Amen. Are you ready? Here's the reason number one. First of all, God cared enough to reveal himself. Everybody say, reveal himself. There's only one way that you and I could ever know anything about God, and that is what he has chosen to reveal to us about himself. Amen? Because if God didn't choose to tell us what he was like or reveal to us what he's like, guess what? We would not have the foggiest idea. Your brain capacity is not big enough to understand God. Your intellect is not bright enough to figure out God. But fortunately for us, God does want us to know about him. He wants us to know who he is and what he's like. He wants us to have a relationship with him. And he's revealed himself to us in so many ways. I'm just going to share two of those with us. First of all, he's revealed himself to us in creation. How many of you happen to wake up early enough to see the sunrise this morning? This is 10 o'clock. Yeah, I don't see a lot of hands. Amen. Amen. I see a few. Amen. What was funny is about 75% of the 8:30 crowd was like, yeah, we saw the sunrise. It was beautiful. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, just when I looked at it, I just thought, you know what I immediately thought was that old Sandy Patty song, was it a morning like this? Amen. When the Savior was resurrected. But when you look around creation and you see the alignment of the planets, you see the way the earth tilts at just the right degree so that we don't freeze or so that we don't burn up. When you recognize that we're just the right distance from the sun, that life on earth is possible. When you look at the human body and you see the organization of the human body, you watch a baby as it grows and develops. You look at how the environment is perfectly balanced and the way the tides come in and they go out in the oceans. Look at the power of God that's been revealed in the sun and in the wind and in the ocean and in the waves. Look at tornadoes and earthquakes and blizzards. Look at snowstorms like we used to have in Richmond, Virginia. Amen. And you really could see the genius and the awesomeness of God's power. Amen. See, we see that God is creative. We recognize that God loves variety, that He likes different things. He's created all these different species of animals and birds and all of the different smells and all of the different tastes and all of the different flowers, even all of the different races of people. Man, aren't you glad God didn't make all of us the same way? Come on, somebody, amen. We even know that God has a sense of humor. Just pause right now and take a good long look at your neighbor. See, yeah, the longer you look, you're like, you know what, you're right. God does have a sense of humor, amen. See, but God has revealed Himself to us, right, in creation. And I love what we can learn about God from creation. But folks, let me tell you, if that's all that we had, we would still have a limited view on God. We would. So God came up with another way to reveal Himself, even a greater way. You ready for this? Around 2,000 years ago, God revealed Himself as a human being. Come on, amen. So that we could truly understand Him. Think about it. If I wanted to communicate with ants, I would need to become like an ant. If I wanted to communicate with fish, I'd need to become like a fish. Amen. If I wanted to communicate whatever. And God chose to communicate with us in such a way that He chose to become like His prized creation. As a matter of fact, did you know that every time you write or say the year 2024, it's 2024, 2,024 years from what? Anybody? From the birth of Jesus, right? Give or take a few years. 2024 AD. You know what I love about that? Because the day that God invaded the earth and came as a human being made such a difference that we literally have split history in half. Come on, BC and AD, amen. AD stands for Anno Domini, which is the year of our Lord. It's a way of counting years based on the time of the birth of Christ forward. BC stands for before Christ, right? It's a way of counting years before the birth of Jesus. AD. And you know what the purpose of all this was? Look at Luke 2:32, talking about Jesus. It says, He is a light to what? Reveal God to the nations. Jesus came to reveal God to us. Amen. He is the glory, the Bible says, of the people of Israel. Jesus revealed God. You know, we hear about this truth a little bit more at Christmas time, but I want to remind you today, God came to earth in human form as a baby, the Son of God, named Jesus. The scripture said that Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Amen. Jesus Christ came to earth to reveal what God was like. Jesus said this, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Folks, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty audacious statement to make, right? Jesus said a lot of amazing things. He said things like, I am God repeatedly throughout the New Testament. He said, I am the only way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, nobody comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the door. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the water of life. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen God. That's what Jesus said. Now, that brings up another important question that we need to ask ourselves. Was he telling the truth? Was Jesus telling the truth? Was Jesus really God in the flesh, or was Jesus the greatest con man that ever walked? Was Jesus really God, or was Jesus just a fraud? God in flesh or not? So, you know, some religions will tell you that Jesus was a great man. Jesus was a great teacher. Jesus was a great prophet. And he was all of those things. But guess what? Jesus didn't stop there. Jesus said, I'm God in the flesh. His claims were much greater than that. And he backed it up. Not only with the miracles he performed when he was alive, but the greatest way he proved it was when he said, I'm going to prove it to you by letting them kill me. I'm going to stretch out my arms on a cross. I'm going to die for the sins of everybody in this world. And 3 days later, destroy this temple. And in 3 days, I will raise it up. And 3 days later, after I've died, after I've been buried in the grave, I'm going to come back to life, and I'm going to prove to everyone exactly who I say I am. And folks, that is exactly what Jesus did. And that's why today, over 2.5 billion people around the world are celebrating Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. That's why history is divided between AD and BC, because Jesus did exactly what he said he would do. And God cared enough to reveal himself to us, to die, to come back from the dead. And after he rose from the dead, he walked around on the streets of Jerusalem. And the Bible says hundreds of people bore witness to his resurrection. And you know what? All of that leads us to right now. What can we learn about God now because of Jesus? We know that God made you for a purpose. That you're not an accident. We know that God has a plan for every one of our lives. We know that God loves you deeply. We know that he cares about you, that you and I, even though we're deeply flawed, he still loves us. We know that he wants to forgive us when we mess up. We know that he wants to have a relationship with us. You know what I love about Jesus, even when he was teaching? He used to tell a lot of stories. We call them parables. But he would tell stories throughout his time of ministry on the earth that helped people understand. And there was this one really cool time in Luke chapter 15 where Jesus did something that was even unusual for him. He told 3 stories back to back to back. 3 different stories. Now, we're not going to read them all today, but I'll just summarize them for you. The first story was about a shepherd who had 100 sheep. And one day, one of his sheep get lost, and the Bible says that that shepherd left the 99 saved sheep, and he goes out on this search and rescue mission to find that one lost sheep. Then Jesus goes right into another story about a woman who had lost a coin. She had 10 coins that were obviously very valuable to her, and she lost one of those 10 coins, and the scripture says, man, she turned her house upside down looking for that lost coin. High and low, she searched for it. As a matter of fact, it must have been valuable because when she found it, she calls her neighbors and she invited all of them over to have a party because she found this lost coin. Then right after that, he goes immediately into another story about a lost son, the prodigal son, as we like to call him. He said there was this man who had 2 sons, and one of the sons comes to him one day, and if you know the story, you know it, but if you don't, let me tell you. This son comes to him and says, Dad, I want my share of my inheritance. I'm ready to leave this place. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to have me a good time. So you know what the dad does? He gives it to him. And the guy goes out. He spends his inheritance. He blows it all. He messes up his life. He hits rock bottom. And then the Bible says, and the Bible literally says this. I love it. It says, when he came to his senses. That's what the Bible says. He repented of his rebellion. He goes back home to his father. And as he's coming home, the father, who is afar off, the Bible says he runs out to meet him. He hugs him. He kisses him on the cheek. He says, here, take my best robe, and I'm going to put a ring on your finger that signifies who you are. Amen. And he said, we're going to kill a fatted calf. And here it is again. They throw another party because the lost son has come home. Now, what was it that Jesus was trying to teach in all these 3 stories? Right in a row, right back to back to back. What was the 3-peat common denominator? That something valuable was lost and it was worth finding. Amen. The sheep mattered to the shepherd. The coin mattered to the woman. The son mattered to the father. Jesus was telling us in those three stories, hear it, you matter to God. Come on. We all matter to God. He cares far more about us than we will ever realize. And in each of these three stories, in each case, there was no rest. A shepherd out looking for the sheep. Woman turning her house upside down. That father probably every sleepless night imagining the worst about his son. No rest until that which was lost was found. And that's why Jesus came. That's why we celebrate Easter. And that's the second way that he's proved his care for us. I want to share with you. He cared enough to save us. He cared enough to save us. Now, how many parents do we have in the room? Let me just see. Raise your hands. We got a lot of parents, okay. When our girls were growing up, I have two adult daughters. When our girls were growing up, our youngest daughter, Lindsay, was an escape artist. Somebody asked me after the first service, they said, does your daughter, Lindsay, know you used her as a sermon prop? I said, no, she'll find out at 11:30, amen. But hear me, Lindsay was an escape artist. And I'm telling you, if you would have put Lindsay in a straitjacket, she would have figured out a way to get out of it. We were constantly trying to find her when she was a baby, when she was a toddler. One time, our neighbor knocked on our door. We lived in a cul-de-sac over in Shore Pump. They knocked on the door, and our neighbor was not bringing us cookies. She was bringing us back our toddler, who we didn't even know was missing. Lindsay, yeah, please don't judge us. We did not win Parents of the Year that year. Amen, okay? Lindsay had opened the window of the porch. She had climbed out the window onto the porch, walked down the steps across the yard to our neighbor's house, and just let herself into the neighbor's house, whose door was unlocked, because she wanted to go over, and I think she wanted to pet the dog. She was 2 years old. Oh, you can imagine. She would hide in kitchen cabinets with bags of flour busted open, slung all over the pots and pans. She would throw oatmeal all over the place. We would come down and find her, and she'd be raking oatmeal into the carpet. She would hide in closets. She would, when she was tired, you know what she would do? She would go up the stairs. We lived in a tri-level. Go up the stairs and climb. She was a toddler. Climb over the rails of her crib, get in the bed, pull up the covers, and go to sleep. We're like, where's Lindsay? Look in the bed, and there she was. One time, she decided to play hide-and-seek in Greenfront Furniture in Farmville. Anybody ever been to Greenfront? By the way, you have never shopped for furniture until you've been to Greenfront. At the time, it was one of the largest places to buy furniture in Virginia. She decided to hide from us there. We were frantically trying to find her. We thought she had been abducted. Amen. You know what was a common thread, though, in all of these stories besides our stellar parenting skills? You know what the common thread was? Hear me, don't miss this. She desperately needed to be saved, but she wasn't even aware she was lost. Come on. She needed to be rescued, but she was not even aware of how scary her situation was in the moment. She was just living her best life, amen? Didn't know how much she needed somebody to help her in her lost condition. And folks, if that does not describe the world that we live in today, I don't know what does. People just living their best life, people just doing whatever they, and not even realizing how desperately they need a Savior in their life. Some of you might even be in this room right now or watching online, and I want you to understand, you don't even realize how bad you need somebody to find you. And that somebody is Jesus. Amen? You may not even know how lost you are until you get found. See, right now, some of us, we don't realize that, but all we need is a Savior. And that's why he cared enough to save us. See, if we didn't need a Savior, Jesus wouldn't have come to earth. If we didn't need a Savior, there'd be no Easter story. There'd be no Christmas story. Jesus would not have done what he did, but he died on the cross for our sins. He would not have wasted the effort if we didn't need somebody to save us. Do you remember the story, what the angel said in the scripture? We read this story at Christmas time at the announcement of Jesus' birth. Listen to what they said about Jesus, what his purpose was. Matthew 1:21. You hear this at Christmas, but hear it on Easter. She will give birth to a son, talking about Mary, his virgin mother. He said, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Check it out. Here's why. because he will save his people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means what? Read it with me. God with us. Now, if you were having problems with me saying that Jesus was God before, here's the angel saying it. Jesus was God with us. Deity clothed in humanity. He said, God with us. He came to save us from our sins. Save me from what, you might ask? From a lot of things. Come on. Save you from the guilt of your past. Save you from the condemnation that you're maybe living in right now in the present. Save you from all the junk in our lives that keep pulling us down. Come on, he came to save us from addictions that are not only ruining our lives, but impacting the lives of our families. Come on, somebody. Can I keep it real? To save us from depression, to save us from grief, to save us from all the anxiety and the stress that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. To save us from the lies of empty religious professions that have not brought us into the grace of Jesus. He cared enough to save us. Amen. How many of you are real in this house will admit that we are not perfect people? Come on, we all blow it. The bottom line is this: we have broken God's laws. Now, when you break man's laws, there's penalties, right? A speeding ticket, citation. Depending upon what you do, you might even go to jail. Amen. When you break man's laws, there's penalties. Guess what? But when we break God's laws, there also are penalties. But you know what I love about God? He said, my justice demands that somebody pay for the wrongs that have been committed so that the score is even. But my love demands that I'm going to pay the penalty myself. Hallelujah. Jesus died in our place. That would be like me going to jail for you for a crime that you committed. He became our Savior. And ever since, every sin that you've ever committed or ever will commit, hear me, it's been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's some serious good news. And we just need to accept that. He doesn't just save us, though, from our sins. Check this out. Man, he saved us to give us a life of purpose. Amen. He saved us from a lack of John 10:10. This is Jesus saying this. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Look what Jesus said, the reason he came. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Amen. Come on, I'm going to tell you right now, how many Christians can testify? It's a good life living for the Lord. It's a good life living for the Lord. Now, do you know why Jesus said that? Because a lot of people never learn how to live. They just exist. They just go from job to job, work to home, back and forth, back and forth. Folks, that's not living. That's existing. Amen? People don't know how to live. Most people don't have the slightest idea what their purpose in life is. But Jesus said, I've come to rescue you from a meaningless, purposeless life. God made you for a purpose. God has a plan for your life. And when you get in a relationship with him, you begin to understand what that plan is. And it becomes clearer and clearer. Amen. He said, I came that you might have life. 1967, true story, by the way, a guy by the name of Charlie Murray was preparing for the Summer Olympics. He was a student at the University of Cincinnati. And because Charlie had never been raised in a religious family, he had never gone to church in his life, he met some Christians there at the University of Cincinnati, and they started talking to him about how much God cared about him, how much God wanted to have a relationship with him. And Charlie was very skeptical, but he was also interested. So over that semester, he talked to his Christian friends about God's love and God's plan and how much he mattered to God. And one night, he decided he was going to go over to the school pool to do some practice diving. And because he was preparing for the Olympics, they had given him special access, special privileges. He could go and use the pool even when it was closed. It was an enclosed pool. The lights were off because it was closed, but they had a glass ceiling in this pool, and there was a full moon that night, so he could see to make his way into the building. And so he climbed up to the top high dive, the diving platform. It was over 20 feet tall from the surface of the pool. He turned around to do his first dive backwards, and Charlie stretched out his arms like this. He was going to dive backwards. And when he did, the moonlight caught his shadow, and reflected it in a giant form of a cross on the wall. And it took him by surprise, and he stopped. And Charlie said that was the first time he ever felt God's love. And he realized that Christ really had died for him. And he understood how much God loved him. And in that moment, he sat down on that diving platform, and he gave his life to God. He said, "Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I want you to make a difference in my life." And Charlie became a believer over 20 feet up on that high dive. So he was sitting there in the dark contemplating that moment, and a few minutes later, the janitor walked in, and suddenly the janitor flipped on the lights, and it scared Charlie. And he got up, and he looked down from off the high dive, and now that the lights were on, he was shocked to see that the pool had been drained dry. The pool was empty. He almost dove to his death into an empty pool. And here's what Charlie said, and these were his words. He said, "The cross stopped him from disaster." Oh, come on, somebody. How many of you will testify here today? Come on, there was a day in your life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to get a little happy right now. That the cross saved you from the disastrous life you were in. The cross saved you from the path that you were on. The cross saved you from your addiction and from your bondage. Come on, somebody ought to give God a praise right now. Woo! Jesus saved me from who I was to make me who I am today. Musicians and praise team, would you come? He cared enough to reveal himself to us. He cared enough to save us. And my last point, he cared enough to want a relationship with us. He wants to make it personal. See, the Bible says that we were made to have a relationship with God. You're not, hear me, you're not just on earth to make money and retire and die. Come on. There's more to this rat race than that. You were put on this earth because God made you in order to know you and to love you. You were created as an object of God's love. God put you here for that reason. And folks, that's the most amazing, mind-blowing concept, that God, the creator of the universe, wants to have a relationship with me and with you. It's almost inconceivable that we were made to have a relationship with God, because every one of us has rejected that relationship at some point in our own way. We've all had times in our life where we said, "God, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to live my own life. I've got my own dreams, my own plans, my own ambition." But guess what? He loved us anyway. Hallelujah. The Bible's very clear that when we come to God and turn to Him with all of our faults and our sins and our mistakes, guess what? He doesn't judge us. He doesn't condemn us. He cares for us, and He comforts us, and He loves us, and He helps us change. You might think, hear me, that you're the worst person in the world. God still wants to have a relationship with you. You may think, "Man, I've done too many bad things." You have no idea the skeletons that are in my closet. No, I don't. But guess what? God still wants to have a relationship with you. Hallelujah. Come on, you might be carrying a lot of shame and regret. Well, guess what? You're at the right place. And you're in good company, because you can lay that shame at the feet of Jesus. And there is nothing that you can do that will make Him love you any less. And guess what? There's nothing you can do that will make Him love you anymore. He loves you just the way you are. You might feel unworthy. You might feel hopeless. You might feel like you're too young or too old or too whatever. But God wants to have a relationship with you. I want you to listen to these amazing verses from Romans chapter 5, verse 6. I just love these verses. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came, and I love this part, at just the right time. Come on, how many of you know He came at just the right time in your life? At just the right time, and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us when we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by what? The death of His Son. While we were still enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us what? Friends of God. We used to sing a song that said, I am a friend of God, I am a friend of God. Did you know you can have that kind of relationship with Him? Not only your friend, but your father. The Bible uses the word Abba. It literally means daddy. You can have that kind of a close relationship with Him. Call Him friend. You can have a personal walk with Jesus. Relationships begin with a decision. A decision that says, I want to be committed to you. It's a lot like getting married. I don't know how many of you remember your wedding day. I remember mine well. It started with a day I got up and I committed myself with two words in front of a whole crowd of people. I said, I do. Now I look back now and I realize I do, but I had no idea what I did. Amen. And I've been unpacking that part for the rest of my life. But guess what? I made a commitment when I said I do. Two words. I do. I did. It changed my life. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? It's real simple. Two words. I do. Amen. Or six words. Thank you, God, for loving me. Hallelujah. Amen. Or just a few words like this. Lord, forgive me and accept me into your kingdom. Come on, somebody. There's no magic formula. There's no magic recipe. But you just begin by turning your heart toward the Lord. You repent of your sins, because guess what? Jesus did the hard work for us. We just have to accept Him. Without Christ in your life, you're never going to find the answers you're looking for. I want you to stand with me all over this house. In this audience, there's a lot of different kinds of people. First of all, I know there's some people that are either watching online or you're in this room right now. But maybe you've not yet made that decision to cross the line. Hear me, you're never going to live the abundant life that God has planned for you until you say, I do, to that relationship with Jesus. He wanted you to be here today, sitting in this room, for me to say to you on His behalf, hear me, somebody cares and loves you more than anyone else has ever cared for you and loved you before. And that somebody is Jesus. Amen. Somebody cares about every area of your life, and that somebody is named Jesus. You have no idea how much God cares for you. So we're going to close the service very quickly, and here's what I'm doing. I'm going to open up this altar. At our church, we give you an opportunity to respond to the word of the Lord that you deserve. So first of all, and don't worry, you're not going to have to come by yourself. First of all, if you've never prayed that prayer, if you've never said, I do, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to begin that walk today. I want you to know it's not complicated. You just come right out and you say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I invite you to be Lord of my life. I want you, God, to begin the change in me today, and I commit to a relationship with you. You can start that today on Easter Sunday, 2024. Then there's others of you in this room. You say, you know what? I already prayed that prayer. I already made that confession of faith. Yeah, I'm a believer, but to be honest, I'm not really doing so hot. Maybe He's not Lord of your life. Maybe He's just Lord of your lips. Today, you can step out and say, you know what? I love you, Jesus, but today I recommit to this relationship. I want to serve you with all of my heart, amen, because of what you've done. And then there's others of you, maybe you and Jesus are all good, and you know what? What a great opportunity to walk out on Easter Sunday and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my life. I just want to give you praise, and I want to recommit myself to you. So as the team begins to sing, I'm opening this altar. I invite you to come, and let's just give God a praise, and let's thank Him right now for all that He's done.
I praise God.
Come on, ask Him, yes, God, I give myself to you.
Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.